Hey man, good morning, good morning, good morning. Guess we'll be like me in school this morning. Oh, what a blessing. Somebody told me one time, said, any day on the top of the ground is a good day. Means we're still living and God has given us another chance to be a blessing, to do His will. And those that are not saved, He's given us them another day to receive salvation. So the Word of God said God is not slack concerning this promise. But the reason He haven't come back yet is He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of the truth. That is the will of God, that all be saved. And I know everybody in my family is not saved yet. And I don't know if everybody in your family is not saved yet. So I thank God He's given all our family members a time, giving them time to receive salvation. And so we praise God for that. We're going to go to the Word of God today for today. I ask y'all to pray for me this morning. Amen. As I hear Holy Spirit and bring the Word of God to you today, is the best that Holy Spirit can use me on this day. Holy Spirit, I yield to you today. I don't yield to my own strength, but I yield to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I can of my own self do nothing, so I need you, Holy Spirit. I need you. I need you to bring this word through me that we all might receive what you have for us today, because we need you. We truly, really, really need you. And so, God, we thank you for that this morning. In the name of Jesus, have your way, Lord. Have your way. Have your way. Thank you, Jesus. I wanted to all of us that are listening to the now to the sound of my voice. I wonder, do we all know how important the Word of God is? I wonder, do we know how blessed we are to have a God that speaks to us, a God that talks to us, a God that not only listens to us, but He actually responds back to us. He talks to us. And He gave us His word so that we could get to know Him through the word of God, but not only get to know Him through our intimacy, intimate times with Him in prayer, but we also get to know the word, know God through His word. The word of God is important. I can think of many times in my life when I had a crisis or I felt down or something happened, or I needed encouragement, and the Holy Spirit would bring the Word of God to my mind. He would bring a scripture or something that I could meditate on, a scripture that would lift me up, a scripture that would help grow me out of that situation that I was in, a scripture that would bring me deliverance. So we need the Word of God. But the thing is, the Word of God don't do us no good if we have a Bible and we never read it. We have the Word of God and we never study it. We never meditate on it. We never take the Word of God and sow that Word in our hearts, because it's our hearts that need the Word of God. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Hallelujah. If I think that I have joy, I'm going to be joyful. If I think I'm victorious, I'm going to be victorious. If I think I have hope, I will be hopeful. If I think I can make it, I will make it. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And it's the word of God that renews our mind and causes us to have the mind of Christ and to think the thoughts we need to think. Because the word of God is just that important. It's just that important. It is just that important. So the word today is The subject for today is sow the word in your heart. Sow the word in your heart. We can't wait till a crisis comes and then try to get the word. We can't wait till we get sick and then try to get the word. We need to sow the word of God in our hearts before that. And even if we're in that now, it's still not too late, what, to sow the word of God in our hearts. It's much better if it's already there, but it's never too late to sow it. As long as there's breath in your body, you can get the word of God in your heart. As long as you're living, you can sow that word in your heart. Because the word of God that gives us strength and power, the word of God is not void of power. I told y'all that the other week. The word of God is never void of power. It always, the Bible says, the word always accomplished what God sent it forth to accomplish. We just got to believe it. We just got to believe it. So this morning, I want us to realize that the word of God is a seed that needs to be planted in our hearts in order to reach a promised crop. We got to sow that word in our hearts. Did y'all know that your heart is ground? And it's up to us whether or not it's good ground. The ground of our heart is determined by us. We learned a few weeks ago, the word of God said, harden not your heart. When you hear the word of God, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. And maybe you don't see the word of God as a seed. Maybe you don't think every word of God is a seed, but it is. And so what do you do with seeds? I mean, if I had some corn seeds or some, I'm going to say some collard green seeds. If I had seeds and I just threw those seeds right here on the floor here where we are, those seeds would probably do what? They would just lay there. They wouldn't do a thing. They wouldn't, nothing would happen if they would just lay there. But if I took those same seeds and I go outside and I found some soil and ground, some good soil and good ground, and I planted those seeds in the ground, after a while, if I just let those seeds stay there, I would have some collard sprouts. Whatever seed I plant, that's what would sprout up. And if I let those seeds stay there long enough and grow, after a while, I harvest a crop. I sure would. So seeds are to be planted. You plant them. We plant them. And so if I plant one seed, I'm going to have one little collard plant. But if I plant a whole lot of seeds, then I'm going to have a whole lot of collard plants. I'm going to have me a bumper crop. I have enough of me and y'all too. So we plant seeds. And the problem is not that we don't have enough word seeds. Maybe the problem is we have not been planting enough seeds to harvest all the crop of promises that belongs to us. Maybe you haven't been planting. If you're missing a crop, if you're missing a promise, maybe you haven't been planting enough seeds. Maybe you haven't been planting enough word in your heart. Maybe we haven't been planting enough word in our hearts. And if you don't like what you've been harvesting, maybe you've been planting the wrong seeds. If I want collard greens, I can't plant corn. If I want corn, I can't plant collard greens. I got to plant the word. I got to plant what I want. So we got to plant the right seeds to get the right results. We can't plant the seeds of the world and expect a God crop. Can't get a God crop if you plant the seeds of the world. So it's time to sow the word of God in our hearts. And this word is not just for you. This word is for me too. No one ever gets to the place they have too much word in their heart. Never happens. Never happens. We need to plant the word of God in our hearts. Jesus said that we in Matthew 4:4, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need to eat our meals every day for our strength in our bodies, but that is not what all we need. We need the word of God for spiritual strength. And not only the word of God give us spiritual strength, that word of God will also give life to our mortal bodies. The word of God said it would quicken our mortal bodies, and it would also renew our mind and bring life to our soul. We're also told in Ephesians 6:17 to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Did you know that our faith is expressed through our obedience? So the word of God said, take the sword of the Spirit. Take the word of God. The word of God is our sword. That's how we fight. We fight with the word of God. That's our weapon. And we need that word to fight with. So when the enemy comes against us, we need the right word at that particular time to fight that battle. Battles are different. Not all battles are the same. And so we need the word of God that fits the battle. That's our sword. That's what we fight with. We need that word. Oh, God. If we could just learn that every battle has a word from God. God has a word for every battle, every situation. God has a word. And if we planted that word in our hearts, that word would come forth in a time of battle, and we have something to fight with. Have you ever got mad with the devil? I have. Have you ever got tired of him messing in your business? Doing stuff he ain't got no business to doing? Destroying stuff he ain't got no business destroying? I have. And at those times, that's when we need the word of God. We need to take that sword, which is the word of God, and go after the enemy. When Jesus fought when Jesus went to the wilderness and he was led into temptation by the Spirit and the devil came, every battle, everything the enemy brought to Jesus, he fought with the word of God. That's in Matthew 4. I read a portion of it a little while ago. But everything the devil brought to him, Jesus had a word to fight with. He fought with the sword of the Spirit. He used that word to fight with. I remember in my life, when I went through depression and I went through feeling down and I went through a doubt and unbelief and a whole bunch of stuff. The word of God came to me. It was the Holy Spirit that gave me the word to fight with. And I fought off the enemy with the word of God. That was my sword. I didn't know at the time that was my sword, but I just did what the Holy Spirit led me to do. The sword of the Spirit was my weapon, which was the word of God. And I remember walking up and down in my living room, and I repeated Psalms 103. And I said, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." My soul didn't feel like blessing the Lord, but I would say, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." My soul didn't feel like even being doing nothing. My soul felt like just sitting down, giving up. But the word of God said, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." So I would tell my soul, "Bless the Lord, soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul." Then I would say, "Forget not all his benefits." I was talking to me. I was talking to my soul. I was using the word of God as a sword of the Spirit. I had sowed that word on the inside of me. And the more I said, the more I sowed it in me. And then that word was coming out. Now I was using that word as my sword to fight with, to fight off the enemy, to fight him off. So we need to sow the word of God in our hearts today. And I don't see it a whole lot. It's not on my notes, but that's okay. We need to sow the word of God in our hearts. Let's go to Mark 4:26. The word talks a lot about, Jesus talked a lot about the word being a seed that we sow. He talked a lot about that. He talked about the kingdom of God and how it was the scattering of seeds. Mark 4:24 says this, and I'm reading from New King James Version. And he said, that he is Jesus. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seeds on the ground. The seed that's being scattered is the word of God, and the ground is our hearts. We are to partner with the Holy Spirit and scatter the word in our hearts. Aren't you glad we're never without the Holy Spirit? When you're reading the word of God, it's the Holy Spirit helps that word get planted in your heart. And when we scatter seeds and we're speaking the word to other people, it's the Holy Spirit that takes that word and puts that word in their hearts. So the seed is the word of God and the ground is our heart. And we ought to partner with the Holy Spirit and scatter the word in our own hearts. The first place that I need to put some word is in me. That's the first place to need word. All of us, the first place we need to scatter the seeds of the word is in our own hearts. And then once we get it in our hearts, we partner with the Holy Spirit and get the word in our hearts. And then what? The Holy Spirit can bring that word out of us and scatter it into somebody else's heart. You nor me nor anybody, we can't give what we don't have. If we don't have it, we can't give it. If Mary Sutton needs $50, I can't give Mary the $50 she needs if I don't have it. I might want to give it to her, but if I don't have it, I can't give it to her. But if I have $50, I can give it away. If we got the word of God in our hearts, we can give the word to somebody that need it. We can speak a word in due season, the Bible says. If we first take that word and sow it in our own hearts, we can let that word, we can partner with Holy Spirit and give that word to somebody else. We not only ourselves here need the word of God, but the world needs the word. They need the word of God. There are so many without hope. They're depressed. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to go because they don't know the Lord. But we that know the Lord, we can give the word of God out of our hearts. We can give the word of God to somebody else. And sometimes that word is just an act of kindness and niceness. I was in Walmart yesterday. And Walmart was not a nice place to be yesterday in Wilson. When I walked in the store, somebody was using profanity. They've used the F word back on one end. And I said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Then I got a little bit further. Somebody else was doing the same thing. And then I ran into this couple. It was a man. He was carrying a baby and a woman. And I looked at them. And they were not your, how can I put this? They looked tough and rough. They looked bad. They weren't somebody you, I mean, they weren't dressed clean. They just looked rough. They looked rough. And when I first looked at them, they're not the type of people you want to just go up and talk to and have a conversation with. But I did. Other people in the store was staying as far away from them as they could, I guess, going the other way. But as an act of kindness, I started talking to him, smiling at the little baby in his arms and giving him kindness. That's all I did. I gave him words of kindness and I treated them like they were human beings. And sometimes that's all we have to do, but it's got to be in us to give it out. It's got to be in us to give it out. Let's look at Mark 4:27. Remember that we scatter the word of God. Partner with the Holy Spirit to scatter that word in our hearts. Then verse Mark 4:24 says this. Now, after we scatter the seed on the ground and should sleep night by night and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. I can't explain how that word of God works in me, and you can't explain how it works in you. We just know it's working. We just know it's working. And so we go to bed. We read the word of God. We allow Holy Spirit to scatter that word in our hearts. We do it on a daily basis. And we get up day and night. And the seed sprouts and grow, although we don't know how. After a while, that word starts coming out of you. You start speaking that word over your situation. You start speaking that word over your life. You start speaking that word over your children, over your grandchildren, over whomever is in your household. You speak that word over your household. You speak that word over yourself. You keep speaking it, and you rise day and night, and that word caused things to sprout, and it caused things to grow, and you don't know how. You just know it's working. You just know you're speaking peace, and peace start coming. You speak in joy of yourself, and you start being joyful. You start speaking strength, and you start getting strong. You start speaking healing, and you start getting healed. Hallelujah. All because what? We're speaking that word. We're scattering that seed in our heart, and we're rising day and night and doing it. And we're not worried about it, but that word is growing. That word is powerful. That word is causing things to happen. And it's okay. We don't have to try to figure it out. Our job is not to figure it out. Our job is just to what? Open our hearts and allow the word of God in. Our job is not what? Not to harden our heart, but to believe God and allow that word of God in our hearts. I can't even tell you how many times I've needed the word of God. And the Holy Spirit just brought that word, the word of God, to my remembrance. The Holy Spirit brought me a scripture and gave me a scripture to help me through that situation. They gave me strength because the word of God was there. It was in my heart. To scatter means to plant with the intention of harvesting a crop. No farmer in his right mind will plant a crop and not expect a harvest. Neither should we plant the word of God in our hearts and not expect the harvest. If you put that word in your heart, plant those seeds, you should expect the harvest. You should expect the word of God to do exactly what God said it would do. Because, like I said, remember, the word of God is never void of power. We should fully expect to receive what we planted in our hearts. We planted our hearts. Speak the word of God over your bodies. Tell your body be well in the name of Jesus. Tell pain to go in the name of Jesus, because my body is well. Tell it to go. Tell it to go. And sometimes it works and sometimes it don't. You keep on speaking it. Don't quit. Keep putting that word in your heart and keep speaking the word of God. I'd rather be speaking the word of God than not speaking it. I'd rather be believing God and not believing it. Amen. Let's look at Mark 4. For the earth, remember, the earth is our heart now. For the earth, because this is a parable, for the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, and after that, the full grain in the head. By itself, the heart produces a crop. When that seed, when that word gets in the heart, it produces the crop. First the stalk, then the head, and finally the full grain in the head. Sounds like a process, don't it? Sounds like it doesn't happen all at once. Sounds like it takes time. No wonder the triple said, lay down day and night. The farmer plants the crop and then lay down day and night. And he don't see what's going on under the earth. But that seed is germinating and getting ready to pop up. Some of y'all, your blessings getting ready to pop up. Some of y'all blessings already done popped up. And some more gonna pop up. Some more gonna pop up because you got that word in your heart. You keep putting that word in your heart, it's gonna pop up. It's gonna pop up. It's a process, but it's gonna pop up. It's gonna come to pass because the word of God is not void of power. And all that time, when we think about the process, there are parts of the process that we can't, that cannot be seen by our physical eyes. When you plant a seed in the ground and you put that dirt over that seed, you don't know what's going on under there. We can't see it. But something is happening. Something is happening. And sometimes we think nothing ain't happening. We go and dig up that seed and look at it. That's probably what Lonnie would do. Donna told me, be quiet, she's asleep. But if you plant a seed, you just got to be patient. If you plant that word in your heart, you just got to be patient. Let the word of God work. Let that seed of the word work in your heart. Let it work. Keep on planting. Keep on watering. Keep on doing what you need to do. Pray over that seed. Pray over the word. Pray over your heart. Here's some more word. Here's some more word. Plant some more word and plant some more word. Keep on planting and keep on planting. And after a while, you're going to see your crop is going to keep come up. The ideal thing is now, if we continuously plant, so we never have a crop failure. Continuously plant, so you will never be bored of a crop. You will always be harvesting the crop. But if we plant periodically, there's going to be some gaps. But if we continuously plant, we will continuously harvest. We will continually have a crop of the promises of God. We'll be continually harvesting. Mark 4:29 says this, but when the grain ripens, getting ready for harvest, when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. When the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Can I tell y'all that harvest time always comes? Harvest time always comes. There's no way in the world you're gonna plant the word in your heart and not have a harvest. It always comes. But the thing is to keep on planting. Keep on sowing that word in your heart. Don't stop. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Let's look at the parable of the sower in Luke 8. Let's look at that a little bit. Luke 8:5. And a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. It was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. We don't want to have any wayside parts of our heart, do we? We want our hearts to be good ground. We don't want nothing to fall by the wayside. But if it fall by the wayside, the birds are going to devour it. Like I said before, the Holy Spirit is the sower of the word. And we need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit as we sow. The Holy Spirit sows the word in our hearts, because without Holy Spirit, it cannot be sown in our hearts. But as we partner with the Holy Spirit by reading the word, meditating on the word, then that word is what? It's sown in our hearts. But we need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We need to partner with the Holy Spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:7, we plant and water, but God gives the increase. Paul assumed that we knew there was no planting or watering without Holy Spirit. You can't plant without Holy Spirit. You can't water the word without the Holy Spirit. We can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said when he went away that I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send you somebody just like me. Even in John 5:30, the Gospel of John 5:30, Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. So we need the Holy Spirit in order to plant that word in our hearts. Because what? It's the Holy Spirit that gives us revelation. It's the Holy Spirit that enlightens our heart and quickens our heart with that word. And Jesus also said in Luke 8:11 that the seed was the word of God. So we know the seed is the word of God. And he also said that what? The birds of the air that devoured the seed was the enemy. They came to steal the word. The enemy wants to steal the word from us. He don't want you to read it in the first place. He don't want you to meditate on it. All kind of distractions will come. I know, because it happened to me too. All kind of things that come to keep us out of the word of God. And then once you get that word in your heart, before you can get to meditate on it enough to make it revelation, he'll come and try to steal it. He'll come and try to steal it. So the enemy is not after you, per se. He's after the word. He don't want you to get the word of God in your heart. He don't want that word in your heart. So some fell by the wayside. The Passion Translation says this: the hard pathway represents the hard hearts of men who hear the word of God, but the slanderer, which is the enemy, the devil, quickly snatches away what was sown in their hearts to keep them from believing and experiencing salvation. Remember I told y'all the story about the children of Israel and the 12 spies that went out and spied the land? And 10 came back with an evil report, and 2 came back with a good report. That was the enemy. What did the enemy do? God had gave the children of Israel the word, but they allowed the enemy to come and snatch the word of God out of them so they couldn't, they didn't believe it. Only Joshua and Caleb believed the word of God. Let's look at Luke 8, 6. Some fell on rocks. So this heart had rocks in them. This person's heart had rocks in them, and the word fell on the rocks. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered because it lacked moisture. Have you ever known anybody to bring a crop forth on rock? You cannot get a crop on a rock. In the first place, there's no moisture. If you try to put water on a rock, what happens? It rolls right off, don't it? It don't sink in. You cannot sink water in the rock. So the crop can't grow. So there was no moisture in the rock. The seed that fell on the rock didn't do well because there was no moisture. The heart lacked moisture. There was no softening of the heart for the word. It could not contain the necessary water needed for it to grow. Jesus said, but the one on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Now think about all this parable. Even by the wayside, they heard the word. Even here on the rock, they heard the word and received it with joy. But Jesus said what? And they have no root. Why? Because you can't grow a root on a rock. There's no moisture, so the roots can't not go down. Something is keeping that heart hard. Something is keeping the word of God from going into that heart like it need to go. And so the word said they have no root who believe for a while in a time of temptation fall away because the word has no root. The word of God has to root in us. It has to take a root. Let me see. A root is something like this. A root is something that takes hold of something. It takes hold. To have no root means not to have firm hold. They have no root in truth, and their faith was temporary. They had no root to hold on to the truth. No way to hold on to it. So the enemy easily what? Came and took it away. They fell away because in a time of temptation, they didn't have the word. Remember when I was telling y'all a little while ago that we need that word of God, and if you put that word in you, when something happens, temptation comes, trials come, that word will come back up. And you can fight with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But if you don't have no word, you don't have nothing to fight with. If I don't have no word, I don't have nothing to fight with. So that rock is just a hard heart. And it couldn't take root. The word couldn't take root. Verse 7, Luke 8, 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Jesus said this in Luke 8, 14. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Choking stops the flow of air, or in this case, the life of God. Anything that's living, if you choke it, you're cutting off the air, and they can't breathe. So this is letting us know what? Cares of this life, riches, and the pleasures of life, they choke the word. They choke out the life of God, and there's no fruit because we need the life of God to bear fruit. It takes the life of God to bring forth fruit. And the cares of this world, riches, and the pleasures of life will cut our hearts off from the life of God. and they will keep the word from bearing fruit in us. Let's look at verse 8 of Luke 8. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, yielded the crop hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who had ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear." And he wasn't talking about physical ears. He's talking about spiritual ears. Let him hear. Mark 13, 23 says this, "But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bear fruit and produces some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Good ground. Jesus said that in Luke, that the ones that fell on good ground were those having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Good ground. The good ground or the good heart, the heart that's good ground, hear the word of God, understands it. And the heart that's on good ground, the heart that's good ground, is a heart that's noble and one that hears the word of God and keep it. Hear the word of God and keep it. Remember the word of God said, we can't be just hearers only. We got to be doers of the word. We can't just hear. We got to obey. We got to listen and obey. So the ones on good ground, they heard the word of God, but they obeyed the word of God. They obeyed the word of God. And when they obeyed the word of God, they brought forth fruit. They brought forth fruit. Everyone in this parable heard the word. Everybody heard the word, but not everybody brought forth fruit. There was nothing wrong with the word that came from God. The word was good. The word they got was good. The sower was the same, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in the person. We have to partner with the Holy Spirit for the word of God to be sown. The only variable in the parable was what? The hearts. Not all hearts were the same. Not all hearts were the same. Our heart affects how we hear the word. How we hear the word, whatever type of heart we got, that affects our hearing the word of God. But it takes the word of God to what? Change our hearts. If you're born again, your heart has already been changed in your spirit man. But our heart consists of not only our spirit, but our soul too. Our spirit and our soul make up our heart. So our spirit is fine when you're born again. You got a new heart, you're a new creation. But that soul is what needs to be changed. That's why we have to renew our mind. Let's look at verse 18, 8:18. And Jesus said this after the parable. He said, "Therefore, take heed to how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seemed to have will be taken away." Be careful how you hear and what you hear, because it makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference. The Passion Translation says this in Luke 8, 18. "So pay careful attention to your heart as you hear my teaching. For to those who have open hearts, even more revelation will be given to them until it overflows." I don't know about you, but I want more revelation of the Lord until it overflows. And once that revelation overflows, it'll flow out to somebody else. It'll flow out to somebody else. Have you ever been in a situation and you were talking, and up came the word of God out of your mouth? You weren't even thinking about it. But God just brought that word right out of you. And for those who do not listen with open hearts, what little light they imagine to have will be taken away. So we got to listen to the word of God with our hearts open to receive. We got to be ready to receive the seed of the word. We got to be ready. The more of the word we get, the more we will be given. We don't want the word to fall by the wayside of our hearts. We want a heart that's open, that's ready to receive all of the word of God. We want to be able to receive it. We want to be able to receive it. Let's look at John 15, 17. What did Jesus promise in John 15? We have a promise in John 15, 7 about the word of God. Jesus promised this. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. That abiding in him and his word abiding in you go together. You can't get what you desire without having both of those. We abide in him, his word abide in our hearts. Because in order, where does the word abide? It abides in our hearts. Where does Jesus abide? He abides in our hearts. If we abide in him and his word abide in our hearts, then we can ask what we will, and the Bible said it will be given. That's a promise. That's a promise. But we got to remain in his presence. We got to remain in his word, and we got to let that word remain in us. We got to let it remain in us. Did you know that not that asking and receiving gives God pleasure? When we ask God for something and by faith receive it, God is well pleased. Matter of fact, in John 15:8, it says this, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. One way to bear fruit is answered prayer. The Father is glorified when we believe his word and bear fruit. The Father is glorified when we bear fruit. So we are what? We have to allow, plant the seed of the word in our hearts. Allow that word to remain in our hearts. Allow, use that sword of the Spirit. When you're in a situation, use the word of God. Jesus didn't try to out-talk the devil. He used the word. He didn't even try to outsmart the devil. He used the word. He used the word of God. He used the word of God. And one thing I do know, that God will never stop loving us. He will always love us. The Father loves us. Jesus loves us. And the Holy Spirit loves us. John 15, 9 said, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Then he says, abide in my love. Stay in my love. Then the next verse said, if we keep his commandments, we will stay in his love. Why is that? It's not that he's going to stop loving us. He never stops loving you. He never stopped loving me. But if we don't keep his commandments, then our hearts start being condemned. And 1 John 3:21 says this, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. We got to keep his commandments, and that way our heart will stay confident toward God. The more word we have in our hearts, the more fruit will be produced by faith in our lives. And the only way to get that more word in our hearts, we got to sow the word in our hearts. We got to partner with Holy Spirit and sow the word of God in our hearts. We have to cease from trusting in our own works and rest in what Jesus has already provided by grace. Stop trusting in your own ability to do it all, do any of it really. But rest in what Jesus has freely provided for us by grace. Sure, I can't do anything by myself. That's okay because I'm never by myself. We always have Holy Spirit with us. Freely we have been given, so freely we ought to receive. Jesus freely gave to us. He freely gave to us. Faith imparts spiritual life. And faith comes by hearing the word of God. It comes by hearing every word of God. Every time you plant the word of God in your hearts, faith comes. Every time we plant the word, faith comes. Where does it come from? It comes from our spirit because we have the measure of faith in our spirit. But it has to come what? Out of our spirit, into our soul, and into our body. We have to stop relating to Jesus by what we do, our own works, and start trusting totally in what Jesus has already done. Don't relate to Jesus by what you do. Relate to him by what he's already done for you. He's already done it. He's already done it. They'll start trusting in what he's already done. This takes effort. It takes effort because it takes the word of God. And it takes time and effort to what? Read the word, study the word, meditate the word. That takes time and it takes effort. We have to labor to rest. We can't rest without the word and obedience to whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking. It takes the word to labor to get into the place of resting by faith. That's why we got to sow the word. Laboring in the word by sowing his word in our hearts is one of the greatest things we can do to enter the rest of God. In Timothy, Paul told him to honor those that labor in the word. We are to labor in the word of God by sowing that word in our hearts so that we can, when we need it, and I don't know about you, but we need it every day. When we need it, we can take that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and fight, defeat the enemy in every situation with the word. Start defeating them with the word. Sow that word and then defeat the enemy on every situation, on all grounds with the word. Destroy his works with the word of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for letting us know today that we have to sow your word in our hearts. And thank you for letting us know that we're not alone. Holy Spirit is our helper. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You help us sow the word in our hearts. You help us to go and pick our word, pick the word up and read it when we might not feel like doing it. Even when we might not even want to do it. But you help us to do it anyway. So thank you, Holy Spirit. You remind us when we forget the word. You bring it back to our remembrance. Thank you. Thank you for giving us your word, God. We have a sword. We have the sword of the Spirit. We have it. We have the sword of the Spirit, and that sword of the Spirit is your word. We destroy every work of the enemy with your word, God. And the more we get in the word of God in your presence, the more we get in your presence in prayer, the more we're intimate with you, the more that word just it just covers our heart. It fills our heart. And then we can bring that word back forth when we need it. So God, we thank you for your word. Your word is so important. It's so powerful. And it does everything you have sent it forth to do. Your word never misses a beat. We just miss it sometimes. We fail to believe and take your word the way it should be. So God, we thank you for your word today. We bless you, God. We bless the word of God in us. And God, we say thank you for your word. Bless it always in us, Lord. Bless your word always in us. And let us be a blessing to each other, Lord. Bless us to be obedient to your word, to do what your word tells us to do, to trust you, Lord, to trust the finished work of the cross, to trust you in every situation, to not lean upon our own understanding, but to lean upon you, God, and your word. And so, God, for that we say thank you this morning. Have your way in us all week long. Let your word come up all week long. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Are there any prayer requests? Let me turn the tape off.